3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. We'll be talking about a very prominent issue. We'll talk about one that is very, very recent, if you please, and imperative that we understand. It might sound simple, but we're talking about today, every vote counts. Hear me, every vote counts. There's some people that will sit back in the chair and say, well, you know, I'm just one vote and it doesn't make any difference. I'll just give a little brief story that perhaps you've heard me share before. Back a number of years ago, we had a Florida House of Representatives member that was elected to his seat by two votes. After the count, after the recount, he was seated, sworn in, based on two votes. My wife and I sat in his office on the day of the swearing-in, and we had coffee and donuts with him. And I said, you recognize that our two votes put you in office? He laughed, and he said, I've had hundreds to tell me that their vote put me in office. So the bottom line is that every vote counts, and we need to recognize that because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the world just witnessed what I call a political coup. Now, the Marxists on the left do not like to hear it that way, but the coup that took place in America, a small group of elite political power brokers just removed Joe Biden in the last days of the political race and anointed Kamala Harris as the presumed Democratic nominee. As most of you already know, ladies and gentlemen, the coup pulled off by the Democratic power brokers just destroyed what I would call the American election system. We have the Marxist Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, that are in control today. As they see it, they have the right to change the policies, change the procedures, change the rules and the regulations at the last minute to operate on the premise that they want to operate on. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that the Marxist Democrats, as in charge as they see it, rather than we the people, and we the people need to recognize our responsibility to be salt and light in a decaying, darkened society that we are living in today. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about that, we're going to give a monologue leading up to the point of introduction of our very special guest today. It's one of the candidates for the school board race here in Duval County. We're going to introduce him in a moment and have some dialogue and discussion on the race and why the school board race is so important and what we need to do. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. May I remind you that in Proverbs 29:3, this truth, that is, the scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe America is in the state of mourning today, perhaps as never before in the history of our nation. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalted, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation, but sin is a reproach, it is a dishonor, it is a shame, it is an insult to any people. That's the scripture. And that's what I believe that we need to recognize, that we need to stand as salt and light. We need to take a position and stand on that position. And as I've said for many, many, many years, we need to have a central biblicist viewpoint. Central biblicist viewpoint means that everything that happens nationally, locally, globally, we need to view it under the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And that's what we do each and every day on this broadcast. Well, I call it the truth book. the Word of God. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that will say the truth shall make you free. They're bifurcating that two verses that's in John 8:31-32. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't do that. It's the totality of the two verses. If you continue, constantly stay, dwell on my word, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, honestly, factually. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot bifurcate truth or in some way demean truth or say that truth is not a matter, because truth matters regardless of what stripe you come from, regardless of your background, regardless of your political affiliations, your denominational affiliations. So when we face issues, we do not use denominational dogma. We do not use political rhetoric. We use what the Word of God says as our fundamental foundation for taking a stand on issues that we're faced with today. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see truth being bifurcated, demeaned, and in some way destroyed today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, "America's decline is linked on the death of truth." Hear me, a portion of what DeMint said is this. Let me read his statement. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I say we need to get back to the fundamentals of the Scripture. But a devastating report in the latest survey says that 55% all the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that same group of millennials say this, and I quote, "Each person determines his or her own version of truth." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to a large segment of society today, and if you listen to the Beltway in Washington, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the AOC and the other three, as I call it, there's no such thing as actual real truth. It is whatever you perceive it to be and however you want to bifurcate it to be. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, and may I quote, Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." So, ladies and gentlemen, conservatives and Christians and patriots today need to stand on truth without bending, without bowing, and understand that we're in the last of the last days before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is raptured out of this old world. And in these dark days, we need to be salt and light, get out of the shaker, get out from under the bed, and be the preservative and the illumination that God would have us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a gigantic flag flowing at the top of that flagpole. It's the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very important issue today. And that is our right as citizens to cast a ballot and vote. Back in 2011, I had the privilege of publishing a book entitled, Is It Time for Revolution? Subtitle, I said, Will It Be the Battlefield or the Ballot Box? And I was dealing with verse-by-verse study of 2 Chronicles chapter 10, after the death of Solomon, the division of the kingdom. And in the divided kingdom had two people fighting for the throne. And as I say, laughingly and jokingly, but yet realistically, they chased the king out of town and killed the IRS agent. As you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 10, I'm not advocating that. I'm simply saying the ballot box is our place to do battle. And I believe that's what every Christian needs to recognize today. And ladies and gentlemen, what we decide in this election, what we the people decide in this election by casting our ballot, not just for president, but for each and every down ballot candidate that's running, how we cast our ballot will make a difference in the state that we're living in, the nation that we're living in, and the county that we have to live in and our grandkids will have to face for the foreseeable future. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about just for a moment before we introduce our special guest today, what I'll call cackling, was spelled with a K, of course, Cackling Kamala, as she has a fame for her cackling, her laughing. But ladies and gentlemen, if we leave everything up to Cackling Kamala, if she's elected president, let me just simply say this in brief. We will live then in a third world banana republic. Why do I say that? I'm looking at an article now, ladies and gentlemen. Kathleen Kamala says that we need to do a forced gun buyback. Headline says, take guns by force. Back fracking, ban fracking, legalize illegal aliens. Watch new and ad revealing minds of Kamala Harris. This very briefly, there's a three-page article. She says, confiscating American firearms by force is one of the ideologies that Kamala Harris has supported. We have to have a buyback program, she said, and I support a mandatory buyback, she affirmed. And I could go on and on and on with her position and what she believes. Ladies and gentlemen, very simply put, let me summarize Kamala Harris for us. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's nothing else that will drive you to the ballot box November the 5th, is this very factor. And that is Kamala Harris or Donald J. Trump to lead America, to direct our nation, and to revamp the policies, and to remove the Biden, Obama administration, and their plan to fundamentally change America. And when it comes down to Kamala Harris, she believes in the CRT being for all the educational system. She believes that Medicare, at the cost of the government, should include all, as she calls them, every human being in America. Illegal immigrants, or I call them invaders. Every human being in America, she says, needs to get free health care. Kamala Harris believes in open borders. She doesn't believe that America should be a sovereign nation. It goes back to Barack Hussein Obama's statement that America should not be a superpower. It ought not to be any more powerful than any other nation on the globe. Direct quote from then-President Barack Obama. Joe Biden is the puppet. Barack Obama's been the puppeteer for the 4 years that Biden has been in office. Listen, if you believe that Joe Biden was elected by 81 million votes, we need to send you back to school to learn some mathematical equations and how they came up with that figure. Kamala believes in open borders. Kamala Harris said that she would pass federal laws that would make abortion available on demand across America, up to and including the birth of the child. Kamala Harris, ladies and gentlemen, would force every law, ordinance, rule, and regulation, enforcing them by the thugs with badges. Listen carefully. Kamala Harris is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-America, anti-morals, and anti-Bill of Rights. Now, if you can live with a president like that, vote for Kamala Harris. And don't take my words out of context and say that I said vote for Kamala Harris. If you want to be, if you want us to be a nation that's against God and God's word and everything that's moral and ethical and valuable in our lives, vote for Kamala Harris. Remember, Kamala Harris said that she, quote, this is her mantra, I'm going to finish what Joe started. And Kamala Harris will be, as one person said it, Kamala Harris will be Biden Obama 2.0. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the office of president that we're voting for. Let me talk about two things very briefly, and then we'll introduce our guest. Two very serious things. Number one, there's six amendments on the November the 5th ballot. Six amendments. Amendment number one, I believe we need to vote yes on. It will put the R and the D behind the name of the candidate that's running for office for the school board. Right now, the school board race, you don't know whether you're getting a conservative or a ranked liberal unless you vet the candidates, you go back and do the research and understand where they stand and talk with them about the issues. And many people do not have the time to do that, will not take the time to do that. So Amendment 1 on the ballot, November the 5th, a yes vote will require future election, future candidates to identify whether it's Republican, Independent, or Democrat, or no party affiliation. Would require that designation. And ladies and gentlemen, the second thing that I want to mention very briefly, two other amendments, there's six on it, but two others that I high profile. Amendment number 3 and amendment number 4. Amendment 3, if passed, will allow the state of Florida to become a pothead state. A pot state. It will legalize marijuana on a recreational basis. And I don't know if you watched it or not, but there's some high-profile, super slick Madison Avenue presentations on television saying, keep the freedom of choice and decision in the hands of adult Americans or adult Floridians so that every person can make a decision for themselves if they want to take or use marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, marijuana destroys the brain. It causes an individual to become schizophrenic. It destroys the laws on the state of Florida, will destroy them. If you don't believe that, go back and study what's happening now in Colorado, Oregon, Washington State, et cetera, California, and how it's destroyed the morals, the ethics, and the values, and the social fabric of those states. I do not want it. God's word would condemn it in a heartbeat. So, ladies and gentlemen, Amendment 3, we need to say no. Amendment 4, ladies and gentlemen, is another one that's very important. If Amendment 4 is passed, it is the murder by way of abortion amendment. It circumvents the legislative process. It circumvents the right to, for our legislators to be held responsible for what we have as laws in the state of Florida. And it will make it an amendment on our Constitution for the state of, by the way, state of Florida Constitution has been amended 127 times since 1973. Our federal Constitution has been amended in the total life of it only 27 times. We've taken the state of Florida Constitution and we made it into Swiss cheese. Anytime a thug with enough money in pocket wants to circumvent the legislative process, they will get a petition signed at between $3 and $10 per signature and put it on the ballot and give a lie for the 90-word summary at the beginning of that amendment so that you're fool-boned it. In the state of Florida, Amendment 4, if passed, will allow a child in the mother's womb to be at risk of murder up to and including birth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the abortion amendment. We need to say no emphatically. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the things that I think are important. And for Christians and conservatives and patriots, we need to stand up, look up, be heard, be seen, be visible, be vocal, and not sit in a closet. Ladies and gentlemen, today, our very special guest on Let's Face the Issues, the best candidate, I believe, for the school board race for District 1 for Duval County School Board. We're delighted to have with us today Tony Ricardo. With us, we're going to be discussing the election for conservatives on the local school board. Tony, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. And I'm looking forward to a lively discussion on what your candidacy means and what it's going to mean to our kids in this county of Duval, in the Richmond County, not Richmond County, Duval County here in Duval County, Florida. Thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule and coming to be with us. Tony, take a few minutes to tell our listeners something about you, your background, and an overview of who you are.
Okay, absolutely, and it's an honor to be here. So I'm a 65-year resident of Jacksonville.
Still a young man.
Still a young fella, yes. Yeah. And I'm a former teacher. I went to private schools here, Bishop Kenny and St. Patrick's parochial schools, mm-hmm. as a kid. Graduated from Bishop Kenny and went to JU, got an education degree there. And I've raised three children, was married for 37 years to my first wife. She passed from cancer in 2018. And I'm currently married. 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Still on a honeymoon.
Still on a honeymoon. That's,
that's
right.
Good.
She's my best help.
Amen. Well, I tell people, of course, my bride's put up with me for less than 100 years. Yeah. I still call her my bride, and that's the way it should be. And yeah. I look forward to what God is going to do in and through your life. Tony, what part does your faith play in your life and work and your candidacy for
It's the bedrock. It's the foundation. The Bible is, as you stated earlier in your very eloquent opening, it's the foundation which you have to make your decisions on as a Christian. And so it's meant everything to me, from raising my children to running my business to waiting on God through times that weren't so nice, mm-hmm. you know, and dealing with cancer and those kind of things, and even my own health. And so I would say it's the most critical thing.
Tony, one of the things, and that's a takeoff from your statement, mm-hmm. it's always a sad thought to me to see those that profess to be Christians, but then in running for office or being in office, will say or do anything to get the vote,
right.
will say or do anything to, as it is called now in the culture, reaching across the aisle to make a deal. I call that a lack of conviction.
Right.
I call that a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always thankful to see a candidate either running for office or in office that will take a stand and say, God, if you want me in office, open the doors. If you don't, close it.
Absolutely.
We'll take that stand based on our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yep. And that's essentially my campaign in a nutshell.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful to hear that. That's a blessing to me. That is always a blessing. Tony, take a minute to tell our audience about your career and your educational background. You touched on it just a moment ago, but elongate on that just a little so that our listeners can have a better understanding of who you are, what you're motivated by, etc. So your educational background, a little more depth, and something about your career and what you're now doing.
Absolutely. So I graduated, as I said, with an education degree from JU and went directly into teaching. It was a passion to learn art. Obviously, I was artistic as a kid, but I didn't really take a lot of classes in high school. I didn't even take any classes there. It wasn't until college that I discovered this talent and the gift, and it's just one of those things that happened. So I got my teaching degree, graduated, went to do my internship at the public schools, ended up getting hired at the public schools, then went to a private school for 2 years. And then went back to the public schools. So a total of 6 years public school experience at the high school level and 2 years in the private school. And since 92, when I left the classroom, which we'll talk about later, I guess, but since I left the classroom in 92, I've been in business for myself, started doing second jobs as a commercial artist. And so I have a commercial art business that's been internationally recognized. And it's fed our little family
well,
for
30
years. Well,
I may need to talk with you further because of our publishing books. Need book designer, book cover
designer.
Oh,
that's a little different. That's publishing. That's a little different. I'm actually doing outdoor art, mm-hmm. Signage, mm-hmm. Truck markings, stuff like that.
How about
and
that?
Gym courts.
That's good. Good,
yeah.
good. I'm glad to hear that. That takes an art. By the way, you said something about not getting interested in education until in your college. I can relate to that. And grammar school, grade school, high school, I hated school.
Yeah.
I got out of that, and then when I got into Bible college, I loved the educational process. I loved to study. I loved mm-hmm. to study and prepare for the exams. I loved to read the Word, study the Word, know the Word, and had a passion for the educational system since then.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
It is wonderful to see what God can do when we have an open mind for Him to teach us through His Word and what He has to
right.
use for our gifts and talents. And
add a little bit of fire.
That's right. Absolutely. It strikes a match to that
That's
fire.
That's right.
Tony, a question that I like to ask each and every candidate running for public office. Why are you running for the school board in Duval County?
Well, it came to my attention about a year ago that there were a lot of things happening in the schools since I had been involved. My kids were the last contact, really, I had, and that was in the mid-2000s. And, you know, the high school was having violence, the student violent activity, having student problems there. And then, you know, we find out on the news that there's sexual misconduct by teachers and those types of things happening. And then the attacks on teachers were starting to show up on social media. And then the final straw, I guess, was when the books were read back at the Duval County School Board. Some concerned parents brought up a book that is actually in the school book, school libraries, mm-hmm. that's in front of minors. Mm-hmm. And they read those books back, and the school board shut the mics off on the parents. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, it might not have been the right venue. It might have been a better place to do it. But, you know, to shut off the mics, that was just a little bit too bridge too far. It represented a government. Can't work like that.
That's right. Well, Tony, you do know, and I'm sure you recall, that the Department of Justice did a 32-page document.
Yes.
It was uploaded then to the Christopher Wray at the FBI to enforce that if a parent would go before the school board and challenge the school board on how the school board is teaching the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the CRT agenda and the immoral, ungodly material that's taught in it, they're now designated as a domestic terrorist.
Yes, I remember that.
And that is still an enforced occupation, or how would you say, goal of the Department of Justice and the FBI even today. Now, I'm going to get a little off my train of thought, but have to insert this. When Dr. Green was superintendent of schools in Duval County, had the privilege of calling for her to be fired or to resign several times on this daily broadcast, because she made the statement that she was going to run the school the way she thought was best and not what the governor said needed to be.
Right.
Even after the bill was signed into law and became a law that you cannot teach CRT and LGBTQ agenda in the classrooms, she said, well, I'll just get my own writers to write the literature and the curriculum for us to use, and the very people that she was going to engage to do that were out of the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community.
Yes.
In other words, we're going to disavow the laws that's on the books. And now, with that being said, and I know it's a brief period of time that Dr. Grenier has been in office as school board superintendent, how do you view him in comparison to what we previously had?
Just from the few times I've met him, I think he's a pretty genuine guy. He's a very hard worker, and he's interested in finding the solutions to problems. Mm-hmm. He's very focused on finding solutions, I believe, and he's looking for input from the community, from teachers, from every available asset.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Because we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The school board is definitely in trouble.
Yes, we are. Tony, our time is running out for the first half of the broadcast. But what do you plan to accomplish, just very briefly, we'll talk about it then on the other side of the news break, but what do you plan to accomplish when you're elected? And by the way, I always tell a candidate, don't say if I'm elected, but when I'm elected.
That's right. Thinking positive.
That puts the seed in a positive manner in the hearer's mind that this person needs to be elected. When you're elected for District 1, what are some of the plans that you want to inculcate, and what do you want to accomplish?
Well, number one, trying to get the reading level up past where it is. It's very dismal. It's less than 50% of the kids are on level reading.
Mm-hmm.
Math skills are pretty weak. I've gone to interviews with the Manufacturers Association, and they tell me that, you know, they don't even have kids that can come to the job. There's a possibility you could get a job for $22 an hour if you know how to read a tape measure,
mm-hmm.
and they can't read the tape measure. And so, you know, it's those things, plus the violence in the classroom is really a big key.
One of the key things that I think of when we get to the educational system, I watched the other evening online the National Educational Association and the Federated Teachers Association, where the one that leads that had nothing and about a 40-minute lecture, had nothing to say about education. All was how we need to continue to elect a Democrat. All in the lecture was how we need to continue with the LGBTQ agenda. Nothing about reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right.
And I believe that's what we see on a national level, and I believe the trickle-down of that is we have some of that in the Duval County School Board system.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue our interview with Tony Ricardo right after the top
this
of the hour news. Be right back. Don't turn your dials.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston.